Are there any special activities that the plant put on for the workers, programs or those kinds of things?
I guess they did put on dances once in a while, but I didn't dance. I never went. In fact, I never learned allowed, wasn't allowed to dance when I was young. But I guess they did have things like that for someone that wanted. And they used to have, I know during the lunch hour, there used to be different entertainers would come out. They'd have platforms built between the buildings, you know, and come out and play. Help us poor war people lift our morale. We used to go out and listen to that. Eat our lunch while we were listening to them.
Did you buy war bonds?
Oh, yes. It was taken out of my check all the time. That enabled us to buy that house that make the down payment that I showed you. Yeah, I took out war bonds all the time.
Was that a requirement or just a
no,
encouragement?
No, just encouragement. And they didn't want you to cash them. In fact, when we got a chance to buy that house, I wanted to cash in enough bonds to make the down payment, and First National Bank in San Diego wouldn't cash them for me, because we weren't supposed to. So we went over to the Bank of America. They didn't even know us. We banked at the First National ever since we'd been in Santa Ana. And they cashed them, and we changed our account right over to Bank of America. Been with them ever since.
What kind of connection did you have to your family back east?
How do you
mean? Time? Well, were your parents still alive?
Oh, no. They've been dead for years.
Mm-hmm.
My father died in 1927. My mother was alive, but then she was an invalid. And she died during the war, but I wasn't able to go back. I couldn't get connections to get back. But she died in about 1943. But my father died just after I came out of California.
And your brothers, you have two brothers?
Yeah, but they, one of them died years ago, just right after my father did. He was an engineer in a railroad, and there's a train. Well, yes, the engine blew up, but it hadn't been during a real cold winter, and it hadn't been serviced right. Anyhow, it's on the run, blew up, and the found him about five car lengths back. He just, he said he never knew what hit him. And the other brother, he was alive. He also had been in an accident, in the train accident. He was also an engineer. Years before, and lost the sight of one eye. But he lived until in the 50s. And we revisited him after the war back there. Of course, we didn't do any traveling during the war. Couldn't get back. He didn't have the gasoline to go back, and they were too busy.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to spend much time with your husband's brother? He said it took 2 weeks to
Yeah, we used to when we both lived here in Pomona before we went to Santa Ana. We only lived a block apart. My children played together all the time. And we used to spend nearly all our Sundays either one place or the other. So that, we just went back and forth quite a bit, and when we could. But I know my youngest daughter was married during the war. She was working at Douglas at the time, and we couldn't have a very big wedding. I don't know whether you recall or not, there was a wedding chapel about halfway between Anaheim and Santa Ana. On a little jog in the road there, that's where she was married. It was, I guess, closer to Anaheim than Santa Ana. And I think there's all, people couldn't get gas to come. You know, about 40 there. But that was the best we could do that time.
Did she remain working after she married?
No, not very long, because he was in the service. He was a flyer, and he was, I had been changed down into South Carolina, and she followed him, well, first into Arizona. And we took her over to Arizona, took her over to Tucson, and she and another girl lived in a motel. And their husbands were in the post, in an air base close to there. And they just, the husbands come in on the weekends, spend the weekends with them. And then they were moved to South Carolina. And the girls, Peggy had her car, and or their car. This other girl had a car. So they followed each other, and they drove. I didn't know it. They didn't tell me they were going to. I didn't know it until we'd done it. Drove all the way to South Carolina to follow her husband. And then just before he was sent overseas, he brought her home. And then he was sent overseas right away. So by that time, she was expecting Stevie, so she didn't work anymore.
Did you have any special friends during this time, women friends that you maybe had met on the job, or neighborhood friends, or people like that in your life?
Yeah, just the woman I worked with, this Mexican girl I told you about, she was a pretty good friend. After we were laid off, we corresponded.
You didn't have time to do things after work, or ever spend time outside of work together?
No, she lived in the Pico, and I lived in Santa Ana. You didn't have energy to do things like that when you got through working there. You were tired, ready to go to bed. Mm-hmm. No, social life wasn't much about that time.
Did you have any thoughts about what you would do at the end of the war? Or did you think about it in terms of the war ending?
We just wanted to take a trip and get away. And just as soon as my husband was laid off, about a month before I was, and just as I stayed on until I was laid off. And then we took a 7 weeks trip. We had all four new retreads on our car. We could only go 35 miles an hour. That was the law then, you know. And we went up here north and east, went to where we used to live in North Dakota. It was the only time I've ever been back there. And back to Illinois. And we stayed there a couple of weeks and then come home. It was about 7 weeks we were gone. And in all that time, we had one blowout after the other on those old retreads. And no matter where you stopped, an old inner tube, an old retread, an old casing, was $10. Then you had to have the inner tube to go in it. As long as we could patch it, we patched it. And you just felt a lot of times your spare would be about gone, and you'd like you're riding on eggs. You think, it's going to be another blowout in a minute. The roads are bumpy and rough. It was quite a trip. And we came back, we were ready to go to work again.
And you? When you knew that the layoffs were coming, did you think about, you know, wanting to continue work or
no,
work sometime?
No,
later?
You just wondered. You went in every day. Will this be the day I'll get it? Mm-hmm. And you knew what numbers were coming up, and they laid off just about 10, 25, 35, 40 a day, something like that. You know.
According to your employee number.
Yeah.
You said seniority.
According to the way you were hired in. Those that were been hired last were let off first.
How did they tell you that you were?
Oh, we knew it that a minute that VE Day was declared, they just stopped work on the B-17. We had a wing about half finished. We went in that morning, and no work. And we just sat around, and they placed us here and there over the plant. And where they put us, they didn't want us either, but they couldn't lay us off because on account of seniority. That's what the union did. And I was put in building 13, and there was an inspector took me under his wing. I thought he was old at the time. He was probably 60. But to me, he seemed old. And he taught me how to read blueprint and how to look for it when he showed me. So I went around with him, and he showed me from the blueprint what he was looking at and checking it. And I learned a lot from him. It helped me later years. But I guess it's because I wanted to learn that he took the trouble to show me how. He's a real nice old gentleman. I liked his gray hair. To me, he was an old man at that time. Probably 20 years older than I was. But he taught me quite a bit. But they wouldn't give us any work. And you had to look busy. And they had a certain kind of a rivet that you could shine up. And we made keychains and I don't know what all. But we didn't dare do it if anybody was around. One fellow brought in jeweler's polish. We could polish them all up, you know, and buff them up. But any of the white shirts, as we called them, came along, we had to be awful busy.
Those were the supervisors?
Yeah, that was the supervisors. But they wouldn't give us anything to do. We just had to look busy. And that's hard to do. The days were so long trying to look busy till they laid us off when we knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. But I stayed on until he laid me up because I knew that it would help my Social Security. And at that time, we didn't know about pensions because they hadn't got that far yet. They hadn't voted that in. That came later in the 50s.
How did you know when it was your day to be laid off?
Well, we knew by the numbers that it would be just most any day. You didn't know exactly, but the last month you went in wondering if this was it. And I come home after my husband, he didn't wait to be laid off, he quit after, because there wasn't any work there either. And he came, well, did you get it today? No, not today.
Would they put a list up, or would that your supervisor tell you, or how did they tell you you were laid off?
Well, how did we know? There must have been a list someplace, because we kept track of the numbers, and we knew when certain numbers came up that we had, that would be it. Mm-hmm. But I just don't remember whether it was in the department or whether it was someplace else they saw. I really don't remember about that.
Did they give you any kind of exit interview, or did they talk to you at all when you left?
Well, they gave us a good rating and said if they needed us, they'd call us back. Well, I was called back while I was on that trip. But when I came back and went to see about it, why, they said, well, it was just a riveter's job. You wouldn't want it anyhow. And it's filled now. Well, I had never riveted. I just drilled. So that was that. And, of course, then I didn't think about going back. I was working. I went to work at a little place in Santa Ana that made by D.V. Johnson made blouses for a firm sweatshop in Los Angeles, and I worked there for a while.
Did you ever think that you wouldn't work again?
No. Oh no, I had a taste of it. I wanted to work. I liked that work at the plant a lot better than I liked sewing. Once I learned it.
I didn't ask you this earlier. What did you do with your money? Was it family money, or was some of it yours? Or what? How did you feel about having your own money, making your own money?
Well, it gave you sort of independence. No, if we needed it, I took out bonds, and we saved those, and it didn't make much difference who bought the groceries and who paid the utilities. Usually, one of us would cash their check. And I remember I used to buy the groceries and he'd pay the utilities, whatever needed to come up. But we saved it too. It was joint account. Mm-hmm. We always had it that way.
What was life like for you right after you were laid off? What was that like?
Awful good enough to have to go to work. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you could sleep in a little bit. You had to get up 4 o'clock every morning. And it was kind of a relief. It just seemed good for a while. And then you got restless.
Were your daughters still at home then?
No, by that time the boys were coming home. And Peggy and Ben, they went to Stockton at that time. He got a job with a telephone company. And of course, Arlene had never been with us. She was married. She had a couple of three little children. She had her own place. Santa Ana was one of the Warhurst houses right back of them. Oh, hello. Come in. It's Arlene. And we were by ourselves at that time.
Mm-hmm. I think that,